Yeah, I'm talking today about the force of favor. And we need to understand what it is, what it means, because the Bible mentions a lot about it. And there are some other words that is used in the scripture pertaining to favor that if we're not careful, we can just read these things and not really understand what they're about. We need to understand this because God has given it to us. And you're going to see that quite clearly today from his word. And God has given it to us to exact, to use, to act upon. And as we do that now, hopefully with more of an understanding than perhaps we've had before. We know without a shadow of a doubt that we have an enemy, and we know what he's trying to do. And one of the things he is trying to do is to blindside you pertaining to what God has given you. Because the devil knows that if you know what he has given you, then you've got power over him. Okay, but we already know that, don't we, church? Yeah. We know that we have power over the enemy. But nonetheless, he's busy out there trying to do all sorts of things, create complications, problems, create things that come before our eyesight that look great, look bigger than the God that we serve. But how many people know the devil's a liar? Yeah. And that's what we're in the business of doing. Exposing his lies. Alright, so let's talk about this a little bit. Now, I've spoke about what? The force of faith, the force of praise. I've spoke about several forces, the force of reconciliation. We've spoke about several different topics with the subject force, but let's remind ourselves of what a force is. A force is something that causes change. Now, that force can be good, force can be bad. The enemy's out there, as I just said, and he's trying to create a change that's bad. But God has given us the ability to create change that's good. Good for us, good for the kingdom, and good for God as well. So force is something that causes change. We've just gone through a period of worship. And what we were doing was applying force to our vocal cords to bring about sound that's pleasing to God. And we call it song or singing. Okay? So force is actually pressure applied. Okay, that's what force is. Pressure applied. So that's it pertaining to a force. And that's just a simple example. You use a vocal cords to shout, to talk, to sing, to do a lot of different things. Okay? But what is favor? I want you to take note of this because it's important for you to understand and to remember these words. Favor means to endorse, to support. It means to assist. Okay? It's an act of unearned love bestowed from one person to another. And that's what we also call grace, because that's what grace is. Grace is unmerited favor. But let's look at the Hebrew word for grace. The Hebrew word for grace is shem. Okay? Which means favor. It means kindness. It is usually found in a superior-inferior relationship. Okay, where one party is more superior than other. And the superior party is the one that gives favor or grace to the inferior party. Okay, and you can take that on any level. If anybody asks you for a favor, you're the superior person if you're able to grant that favor in that relationship, even though it's just someone asking for a favor. So you can take that on any level. Our God, obviously, is the superior part in this relationship, and we are the inferior. And you will see today from God's word that he actually grants and gives us favor for us to use. Now, what does favor do? All right. What does it do? Favor makes things easier. Favor provides advantages. Favor shows special privileges. Favor is our part of, is part of our blessing from God. And you're going to see that. It's part of our salvation package. Favor is something we have access to. So is God's children then. God has said, here, as part of the package that I've given you favor. And that means that God is giving you permission to access him, to ask him to grant something for you. All right? So we don't need to be embarrassed, or we don't need to wonder about things. Okay? We just need to know that God has given us that. But we also got to know how we're going to approach Him. Okay? Because, you know, you can't just go to God and ask God for anything and think He's going to grant you. No, He's a Father. He's a Heavenly Father. And if we earthly fathers know how to give good things to our children, how much more, the Bible says, our Heavenly Father knows how to give to those who ask. But we've got to ask according to His word, according to His will. And that's important. So what does it do? These are some of the things that it does. I'm going to share with you a scripture, then I'm going to give you one more thing that's very important that favor does. Okay? Psalm 5 and verse 12. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. Did you hear that? God will bless the righteous with what?
Favor.
With favor. And you will surround him as with a shield. Wow. That's how much God cares about you. So yes, let the enemy try whatever he wants to do. Let him talk. Let him do whatever it is. God has not just given us power, okay? But also God has given us favor. As I said, part of your salvation package, you're going to see that in a moment. And so we can come to God, and we come to him on the premise of his word, and said, Lord, you said. And that alone gives us the right to come into the presence of God and, you know, remind him of his word. That's what he tells us to do anyway. So you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. I'm going to flash this up again a little later on. But let's go back to that screen. And let me show you one more thing about favor. Okay? Down the bottom. Favor is granted, not paid. And that's so important for you to realize, church. Favor is granted, it's not paid. In other words, you can't earn favor. If you are doing something for someone, okay, and they're paying you, that's not favor. Favor is granted. When somebody comes to you and says, hey, could you do me a favor? Could you just, you know, cover that chair for me? And you say, yeah, I can do it. You're not going to pay them for that. They're not expecting payment for that. Why? Because they ask you to do them a favor. All right? So favor is granted, not paid. All right. So I'm going to show you some examples from Scripture. I'm going to run through some of them quickly and maybe talk a little bit about some. Just going to give you a few examples from Scripture where favor has been granted to God's people. So I'm calling it this favor exemplified. Okay? I'm going to show them to you one by one. Noah. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. The Bible says there, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What is grace? Grace is?
Favor,
thank you. Grace is favor. So Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That's good news, man. Let's have a look at another one. Joseph. Genesis 39 verse 4. It says, so Joseph found favor in Potiphar's sight. Okay? And served him, and then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, and he put under his authority. But we all know what happened when Joseph had favor. Potiphar's wife lied. Potiphar's wife lied on Joseph. And where did Joseph end up? Prison. But listen, Genesis 39:21 is not on the screen. Genesis 39:21. We see that verse tells us that Joseph found favor even whilst in prison. He found favor. So, what I'm saying is, when you're a child of God, no matter what happens to you, no matter where you go, you still got the favor of God. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
Listen, bad things happen, man. But don't let the bad things that happen cause your mindset to be changed or to be drifted away from things, from the word of God, the purposes of God, and from your ministry. And from the things that God would have you do. Don't let that happen. You'll be determined and say, no. I might not like what's happening. Or maybe what's happening is distasteful. But in Jesus' name, I've got the favor of God. Because why? You have God on your side. Alright, so Genesis 39 verse 4. Genesis also 39 verse 21. But look what happened in the end. Genesis 41 verse 40. You shall be ruler over my people. By the way, this was Pharaoh. So even though he was in prison, bad things happened to Joseph. When he got delivered, because, you know, bad things don't last forever, church. You may be going through stuff. It's not going to last forever. Amen. God is taking you through. Why? Because you got favor.
Amen.
The favor of God is upon your life.
Amen.
all right, this is where you shout a loud amen, you know. You know what that does? That seals it. I said, the favor of God is upon your life.
Amen.
That's it. I want it to bounce back to me. Anyway, Joseph had favor here from Pharaoh. You shall be ruled over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. Wow. That's God's favor upon Joseph, promoting him and keeping him, even though from he got the dream, everything went wrong. From his family deserting him to you know what, and you know the story. But in the end, guess what? The favor of God brought him through. Isn't that good news? Yeah. Listen, in the end, church, no matter what you're going through, the favor of God will bring you through.
Amen.
You hear me? Do you hear me? But you've got to stick to the plan. Stick to the word of God and make the word of God work in your life. Daniel chapter 1, verse 9. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief eunuchs. Samuel, 1 Samuel 2:26. And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor, both with the Lord and men. Note that, both with the Lord and men. Favor was upon his life. Ruth. Ruth chapter 2, verse 10. Bad things happen from the very beginning. Ruth, you know the story about Ruth and Naomi, right? Naomi had two sons, and the two sons, and she had a husband. Elkanah, I think his name was. Elkanah died. Then later on, the two sons died. So when you talk about people going through things, Ruth went through things. Naomi went through things, rather. And she had two daughter-in-laws, Naomi, and I can't remember the name of the other one, doesn't really matter. And then she thought God had abandoned her. This is Naomi. She thought God had abandoned her. And she said to her two daughter-in-law, go back to your people, go back to your land, because the Lord must have abandoned me, because my husband is dead, your husbands, my sons have died, and here we are as women, left with nothing, because back in those days, the culture required men to be there to provide for their families, okay? So one daughter said, I will not leave you. Wherever you go, I will go. Your God will be my God, and your people my people. And that was Ruth. The other daughter didn't want to go. The other daughter-in-law didn't really want to go, but in the end, she went. But Ruth followed Naomi. And as a result of Ruth following Naomi, chop, 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 we get right down to them going back to Naomi's family. And Naomi's family, Ruth just found favor. When she went there, she went to a strange land. It wasn't her people, wasn't her land. But she saw women gleaning in the field that Ruth's family had. So she went there. And she said, let me just glean in the field. And then the people inquired, and then later on, Ruth's family, I can't remember his name, came and said, who is this? And they told her who she was. Naomi had returned, and Ruth had returned from Naomi. And, you know, the tragedy that has happened to them. And then Naomi said to her at one point, go to the feet of... Is it Boaz? Thank you. Thank you. Go to the feet of Boaz when he's sleeping. Don't say anything. Wait till he's eaten. Wait till he's drank. Wait till he's resting. And when he's lying down in his bed and sleeping, go into that room. Lie down there and sleep. Lie down at his feet. Just lie down at his feet. Yeah, and sleep there. All right? And that's what she did. Everything, every instruction Naomi gave Ruth, she did it. She didn't argue. She just did it. And I love that. When I read that story, I just love that about Ruth. Anyway, he woke up and he saw her and said, oh, who are you? What are you doing in here? A woman with a man in a room by himself. Anyway, and she explained who she was. And then, in the end, church, the bottom line is this. They got married. Some things happened before that, but they got married. Why? The favor of God was upon Naomi. The favor of God was upon Ruth. And so, even though their beginning was tragic, their beginning was horrible, guess what? Their end was good. Because later on, Ruth had a baby. And the Bible says this, that Naomi took that baby. That's how close they were with Ruth. She was with Ruth. Took that baby and put her on her chest and nursed her. Nursed the baby. And I said to myself, wow, you know, what if Ruth hadn't gone with Naomi? What if Ruth hadn't obeyed Naomi? What if she didn't humble herself and let God do what he wanted to do? Then she wouldn't have found favor. Because she did find favor. And from that line, I've written down in my notes here, favor of God caused Ruth and Naomi to be blessed. And Ruth became the great-grandmother of King David. So if that had not happened, he might not have been a King David. He would have come somewhere else, or no, he wouldn't have existed. God would have done something else. And from that line, came Jesus Christ. So again, your beginning may not be favorable. Your beginning may be horrible. But in Jesus' name, your good, your end will be good. Can I get a loud amen? Yes. All right. Sorry, I spent a little time on Ruth. But David, Psalm 119, verse 58. This is what he said. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. He didn't take God's favor for granted. Be merciful to me according to your word. Paul wrote, by the grace of God, I am what I am. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. And then later on, Paul was able to instruct the church and say to the church, hey, let us come boldly before the throne of grace, the throne of favor, that we may obtain mercy and find favor to help in the time of need. So Paul experienced it on a personal level, then he encouraged the church to come boldly before the throne of grace, knowing who you are. Okay, and we're coming to that. Mary, the angel of the Lord came into her and said, Hail Mary, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Why was Mary highly favored? Because she was pregnant. God chose her to be pregnant with his son, God's son, Jesus Christ. She was highly favored. Church, are you highly favored? Well, that means, you know what that means? You're pregnant with something. You are pregnant with potential. And God is expecting you to give birth to your future. This is not just about you. It's about those around you. It's about your community. It's about your family. It's about your life. You are highly, you are blessed and highly favored. Can you say that out loud? I'm blessed and highly favored. Say it again. Say it one more time. You are. You just spoke truth. So stop looking at what is going on in your life and letting that define you. No, let God's word define you. Because all things will work together for good. Romans 8:28. Why? Because you love the Lord. Do you love the Lord?
No.
Let me not assume. You love the Lord and according to his purpose. The children of Israel had favor. Exodus 3:21. And I will give this people favor. This is God speaking. And in the sight of the Egyptians, their enemies, those who held them in bondage. And it will come to pass that when you go, you will not go empty. And they didn't go empty. They left with gold, they left with silver, they left with a load of things. Why? Because the favor of God was upon them. All right, who else? Jesus. I could never do something like this and not show you that Jesus had favor. Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Wow. Let me show you something. The favor of God. The favor of God brought supernatural increase. Genesis 39:21. Favor of God brought restoration. Exodus 3:21. The favor of God brought honor among enemies. Exodus 11:3. The favor of God brought increased assets. Deuteronomy 33:22-23. The favor of God brought victories. Joshua 11:20. The favor of God brought recognition. 1 Samuel 16:32. The favor of God brought preferential treatment. Esther 2:17. The favor of God brought petitions granted. Esther 5:8. Beautiful story there. The favor of God brought laws changed. Esther 8:5. The favor of God brought sweatless victories. Psalm 44 verse 3. And church, the list goes on. As I said, this is not a full-fledged teaching. This is just a little sample taken from the word of God of how the favor of God is present and what God makes available for his people throughout the time, throughout the ages, because God is a God who is consistent and he loves his people consistently. Even though at times they disappoint him and at times he wanted to throw them off, but he always comes back to his people. You see, even Israel now, You see, the church age came up because the Israel rejected God. And the Bible says that. So the church age was born. But God isn't finished with the Jews. There's seven missing years in the 70-week prophecy. It's going to be fulfilled during the tribulation period. And I won't go any further on that. But let's stick to this. How do I activate the favor of God? Three simple things I'm going to give you today. How do I activate the favor of God? One, recognize this church. It's so important. It's so simple, but so important. Because as I said, it's part of your salvation package. You already have it. All right? It's part of your... I just read that. It's part of your salvation package, but you must know that you have that. You've got to know. You've got the key word there is knowing. Knowing. I have favor. I'm God's child. And so favor is mine in Jesus' name. You've got to know it. Part of the salvation package, let me prove it to you. Ephesians 2 verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. A gift, again, you don't pay for a gift. When somebody gives you a gift, you don't pay them for it. You receive it and say thank you. Or you reject it. It's a gift. Right? By grace, you have been saved through faith. Titus 3 verse 7. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, what does it mean justified by grace? What does it mean justified? Having been justified. The word justified, let me put it simply. Simply means this. The word justified means to align, correctly align. That's what justification is. You're correctly now aligned. And in this context, you've been correctly aligned with God. Okay, you're positioned correctly. That having been justified, positioned correctly, correctly aligned by His grace, by His favor, we should become heirs, according to the hope of eternal life. All right, Psalm 5, 12, verse 12. We read it earlier. I said it was coming up again. Here it is. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Now, what did I say favor means? Do you remember? To endorse, to support, to assist. Say that with me. To endorse, to support, to assist. Say it one more time. To endorse, to support, to assist. That's what favor means. Okay? So God is endorsing you. Alright? God is assisting you. He's supporting you. Alright? And He's also assisting you. We're workers together with Him. So He's assisting you in anything that you are doing. Look at these chairs. All beautifully prepared in white. Do you know why these chairs are being prepared? Why? Tell me.
No idea.
I'll tell you. For the angels of God that are here.
Not for
Yvonne. Sorry, Yvonne. Well, the angels are here. Your angels are here, and they're sitting down, and they're saying louder amens than you are. I'll tell you that. And they're assisting, but they're here to assist you. When you were worshiping earlier, if you're worshiping in spirit and in truth, your angels were assisting you. You can't see them, but they're here to support you. And to endorse you when you do the right thing. Alright? Okay. So, let's move on. Number two. So, number one. What was number one? How do we activate favor? You've got to what?
No.
You've got nothing. You've got to know. Remember, I said know is a key word. You've got to know that it's part of your salvation package. Know that you have it. Number two. Get a hold of God's word and implant it on your heart. Favor will not work, okay? You can't go to... Look, when you go to somebody and ask them for favor, you're going to that person asking for favor because you know that person's able to grant it. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So you've got to, we know that God is able to do, God, in His Word, there's so many words, so many promises. And, you know, God said, with Him, there's nothing that is impossible. All things are possible if you believe. All right? So we've got to, when we come to God now, and He gives us His Word, we take it back to Him in prayer. That's what He expects us to do. That's why Psalm 55 verse 11 says, my word will not return to me void. That word void means empty. It won't come back to Him empty. But He went on to say, it will accomplish that which I want it to accomplish. It will perform, it will do the thing that I set it to do. So God gives us His word that gives us our future, that gives us the answer. And it's depending upon you and I to take that word and bring it back to Him and say, Lord, You said that You will do whatever it is. You said in Your word. And what you're doing is now, you're coming into the court and you're standing before the righteous judge and you're bringing to the righteous judge the righteous judge's word that He sent to you in the beginning. So God was having faith in you by saying that, guess what, my word is not going to return to me void. It's going to be faith-filled. And because my people choose to bring my word back to me faith-filled, believing that I will do what I said I would do, then I will do it. And that's what He meant when He said, it will accomplish that which it was set forth to do. So when God says, He's your healer, what you've got to do now is take that word, get it implanted in your heart, and then bring it back to Him in prayer consistently. Don't just do one time and it didn't work. No, you've got to develop that routine, that habit. Get it on your heart. Get it on your heart, and then you're going to consistently speak it, declare it, decree it into the atmosphere, decree it, and come aggressively in faith, decree in the name of Jesus Christ what He has already said He would do, and watch and see it happen. Are you with me today, church? That's how you're going to fight it today. That's how you're going to fight. No place for weaky, thank you, Christians. You got to be serious, I'm telling you. Get a hold of His word, implant it in your heart. Where does it take you need to do that? In the Bible. James 1:21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the what? Implanted word. The implanted word. And what is it able to do? Which is able to save your souls. A couple more verses. Proverbs 3:3-4. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Let not what forsake you? Two things. What are they?
Mercy and truth.
Don't let them forsake you. And the Bible says, bind them around. You know, I said, Lord, what does that really mean? And the only thing that came to me, I asked Him that twice, and the same answer came back. Sometimes you wear a necklace. I've got one on as well, and some of us might have it. Just wear it as an ornament, man. Let it be part of your decor. Let it be part of how you look pretty or handsome. That's all it means. Wear mercy and truth. Be a merciful person. What does mercy mean? Mercy means you don't get what you do deserve. Mm-hmm. So somebody did you wrong, and guess what? You're not going to get revenge now. But you're going to show them mercy. Can I get an amen? Show them mercy. So you're not going to give them what they deserve, but you're going to be gracious to them. Be kind to them. Wear it around your neck like an ornament. Okay? Mercy and truth. Truth that will set you free. And then the Bible says, write them on the tablet of your heart, and that's the way you're going to find favor and high esteem in the sight of God. Amen. What does favor mean? To
endorse,
support, assist. That's right. To endorse, support, and assist. That's what you're going to find when you wear those ornaments. Psalm 45 verse 1. My heart is overflowing with the theme I speak concerning the composition to the king. My tongue is a pen of a ready writer. So be ready to speak. Speak right. A lot of people are ready to speak in anger and to speak about the pain and to speak about what is negative and what's going on and what they did to me and what she did to me and what he did to me. But no. Let your tongue be the pen of a ready writer that is ready to speak forth God's word into your heart and into your life. All right, so number three. So number one was what? What you got to do?
No.
You got to know. Number two? Implant the word on your heart. And we know how do we do that now. We do that by speaking, by words. And that's why the Bible has so much to say about words. Your words are powerful. Right? Proverbs 18:21, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat of its fruit. You love to use the word, you're going to eat the fruit of your words. All right? John 6:63, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. It's not just mere words, it's spirit. You are affecting your atmosphere by the things that you're speaking. You are creating your future by the things that you're speaking, whether it's positive or negative. Your words are life. Do you get that, church?
Amen.
Number three, use your words to ask for favor. Okay, from God. Matthew Henry, the commentator Matthew Henry, said that asking is the rule of the kingdom. And the reason a lot of people don't have it is because they don't activate this rule. That's what he said, and it's true. So let's look at some scriptures pertaining to that, and then I'm finished. Matthew 21:22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Okay? Please keep in mind that if I'm asking according to God's word, according to His will, because sometimes people just look at scripture and just take things and misinterpret it. This is talking about if you're asking according to His will and according to His word. All right? You will receive. Matthew 21:22. Luke 11, verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given. By the way, Jesus here was speaking. And ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. John 14, verses 13 and 14. And whatever things you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. James 1, verse 6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Now, again, you see the collaboration here between asking and faith. Okay? Faith, what does faith mean? What is faith? Talk to me. Somebody tell me, please. What is faith?
Firm persuasion.
Firm, all right, close second. Let me just use that. Firm persuasion. Sorry. Yeah, that's right. Firm persuasion. That's what it is. To be fully persuaded. Firm persuasion. So when you come into God, you've got to be in your heart. And you've done that because you've implanted His word in your heart, you see. You're not just coming to God and saying, Lord. No, but you're coming fully persuaded because God has already spoken it. God has already told you what He will do. Especially so if it's clear in the word of God. The will of God is sometimes clear. The will of God is sometimes to be discovered. Okay? You might want to buy a car, for example. And you can bring to God, I've done this in the past, you bring to God the exact spec. I've done that. Okay? And God will provide that exact spec. But then, if His divine will and purposes is not that you have that car, or maybe that car, but not with that spec, then something else will happen. Okay? So in that case, the will of God for me was unknown. Okay? I just know that my desires lined up toward that. But God could say, well, no, not this, this. You know why? Because He has something better for you. But where the will of God is clear, then you have no doubt whatsoever. And you can come before Him and ask Him. And He will do it. Alright? He will do it. Alright, so finally, let me wrap this up. Finally, I think I'm giving you three scriptures in closing. So Psalm 30, verse 5. For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Now, if I was you, I would really take note of that. Because like I said earlier, make no mistake, there are times when God is angry. And we see that right throughout the Old Testament with Israel. We see that. Where time and time again, people disobey God's orders. Or they abandon God and serve in wooden images or carved stones. Silly things to do. But people do it. God's people do silly things sometimes. Isn't that true? I mean, I know I have. And I've still got some. His anger, though, is but for a moment. But look at this. His favor is for life. It's for life, man. It's for life. What does favor mean? To? He's endorsing you for life. What else? Support. He's supporting you for life. And?
Assist.
He is assisting you for life. It's not something that is based on a time. It's for life, for eternity. And when you really think about that, that's good. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly. We looked at this before, but just close with this again. Boldly before the throne of grace, and there you're going to receive help and mercy. Find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. And I'm closing now with the last screen that I shot up last week. The last screen I shot last week up here. I'm closing with that one as well. Job 22, verses 21 and 22. Now, very important. It says this, now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Receive, please, instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. Now, let me go from the top. Acquaint yourself with him. See, I've been talking to you now about the word, and we said, okay, fine, 3 steps to get favor. How do I obtain favor? How do I activate favor in my life? And the first thing we said that is that we have to know that we have it. Know. Let you know until you know. Know that you know that you got favor. Right? Because it's part of your salvation package. We've seen that. Then we said we've got to implant God's word on our heart. Because God's word is his word. That's how he works. He works by his word. So when you have it implanted on your heart now, it's part of you. Your heart is your inner part of your being. And so therefore, it's inside of you. And then when you speak it out now, it's not just mere empty words. You're not shooting blanks. But it's faith-filled. Because you've been meditating, muttering, and musing the word that's inside of you. That's how you sow it into your spirit. And then, bam! When you know that you know, you speak it out. You ask. That was the third step we said we need to do. Ask. But we've got to acquaint ourselves with him. We're not coming before somebody religiously. But we're getting to know his word, praise God. But we're getting to know him. Are you here, church? Please, make sure that that's where you're at. Make sure you're getting to know him more. Don't make the mistake of getting familiar with scripture. Good to know scripture. Good to learn and memorize scripture. Very good. But don't do it at the price of missing the acquaintancy that you need to have with him. Acquaint yourself with him. And that's how you get peace. And the Bible speaks about the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Because when you understand that, by now you should be panicking with all those bills. By now you should be panicking, how am I going to pay my bills this month? No, no, no. Acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. God will make a way, church.
Amen.
God will make a way. I feel I'm speaking to somebody today. God will make a way. And trust me when I say that Joy and I, we've been through stuff. Okay? Financially. But we have trusted God. And we're still not where... We're nowhere near where we believe that we're going to be. Nowhere near. Nowhere at all. Nowhere near. I can't emphasize that anymore. Acquaint yourself with it. Be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. This is God's word speaking, man. How can you? You can never acquaint yourself with the Heavenly Father and not expect to see good come to you. No, 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 no. That's not the God that we serve, man. Receive, though. Listen. Receive, please. Instruction from his mouth. You've got his word today. You've got his instructions today. You now know without a shadow of a doubt that you are in favor with God. God's favor is on your life.
Amen.
I say it again. God's favor is on your life.
Amen.
Receive it, but lay it up in your heart. You remember Mary, when Mary, the Bible says that when Mary heard the words of Jesus, what did she do when he was a little boy? What did the Bible say she did? She pondered them in her heart. The psalmist said, thy word have I hidden. Where? in my heart, that I might not sin. Because if I've got God's word in my heart, when the temptation comes to sin, I'll remember God's word. The Holy Spirit is going to be there reminding me about that. And I'm going to use my will to overcome that. God ain't going to do it for you. Not going to do it for you. You're going to use your will. And that's why I teach on the will. And that's why the will is part of our soul compartment. But it has to be disciplined. It has to be set. Because if your will ain't set, you're going to fail. You're not going to come. If it's not set, you're going to be tempted. You're going to be drawn. So you're going to be make sure that you're acquainting yourself with Him, receiving instruction from Him, and laying up His words in your heart, and watch and see the favor of God come up on your life in Jesus' name. Bow your heads in prayer. I'm done.